Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast from Live the Promise. There are many more podcasts available up on the website at myfaithradio.com, and your support makes this possible. Thank you. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. And we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Well, here's a question for you. Are you walking through a time of transition right now? Well, you know what? Lots of people are. So how do you navigate those waters of change while keeping your most important relationships intact? Well, my guest today is our good friend, Focus on the Family's Vice President, Dr. Greg Smalley. We're going to talk about the effect transitions have specifically on marriage and how to anchor your relationship in the midst of those times of transitions. Real quickly, I want you to know that we are partnering this month with FEBC, Far East Broadcast Company, and they are a ministry that they broadcast life-changing Word of God in 40 countries in 100 languages. So listen to this. Listeners from all over the world are asking for radios because they want to know more about the living God who has the power to restore their lives. So you can share the gospel by giving a radio today at $30. $30 gift will provide a radio, one radio, and every radio has the power to reach 25 people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can learn more on their website, givearadio.org. All righty, let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Vice President of Marriage for Focus on the Family. His books, he's got many of them, but a couple of them are The DNA of Relationships and The Wholehearted Marriage. He and Erin, his wife, have three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and their son, Garrison. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dr. Smalls, welcome back to the show.
It is always awesome to be with you.
That was a little pause there. That made me nervous.
I had to pray always about what I was going to say.
Hmm. Okay.
Quick.
That was good.
It was a short prayer.
Yeah. I got my answer. Okay.
So, I heard the word awesome.
Yes. God gave it to you and you gave it to me. Thank you for
exactly.
that. Glad to have you. So we've got some funny stories and incidents to share, I'm sure. But before we get there, do you have a passage of scripture you've been thinking about these days you can share?
Yeah, in light of what we're going to talk about as far as how do we grow closer in terms of when we hit transitions, I love 1 Corinthians 7:28. And there's a little part of that verse that says, but for those who marry, you will face many troubles in this life. And that's just meant to say that, you know what, all of us who are married, all of us in relationship, we're going to hit times of transition, frustration. We're going to go through crises. We're going to hit conflict. And that shouldn't be a surprise. Mm-hmm. And so in light of the fact that, listen, we're all going to go through some hard times. How do we navigate through that in a way that not just helps us to survive, but actually can help us to thrive through that? Because I don't want to just make it through transition times with Aaron. I want us to come out better, stronger, closer, more connected. And I really do think that's possible if we're intentional.
Indeed, indeed. So you just celebrated your 24th wedding anniversary. First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
No small thing. Now, I want to hear how you celebrated, but if you don't mind, look back over the 24 years. Are there any troubles that surprised you when you look at the passage you just opened up? Looking back, I didn't see that coming. I mean, is there anything like that comes to mind for you?
You know, I was shocked early on in our marriage how poorly we managed conflict. Yeah, I knew that we'd fight. I knew that we'd disagree. I knew that there would be plenty of times that I accidentally, and I emphasize the word accidentally, would do things to hurt Aaron. I mean, I knew all of that. I figured, come on, we love each other. We're believers. We're Christ followers. We'll navigate through those conflicts fine, and it really, really hit us hard to the point. I mean, we've talked about this many times, but really, I thought we were one more argument away from Aaron leaving me, and I wasn't expecting that at all.
And yet you learned skills and tools and ways to navigate, not only through conflict, but also to get your own hearts healed. And I think that was really significant, too, because I think we go around the same mountains over and over again if we don't let those same trials kind of reveal a deeper need that we have for more of God and more of His influence in our lives, right?
Absolutely. Mm. You know, they're just looking back. Yeah, I mean, there's been other times. I almost lost Erin when she gave birth to Murphy.
Wow, so I didn't know that.
Now, yeah, our almost 19-year-old. So this is almost 19 years ago. Erin had what's called HELLP syndrome. So it's a real kind of extreme form of toxemia, where the baby's toxic to the mother's body. Very high mortality rate for both the baby and the mom.
Wow.
And Erin was right in there, and we had to rush her to the hospital, and basically they weren't sure if she was going to make it. Her liver, everything just shut down.
Oh, my goodness.
And Murphy was in distress. And this was all happening so fast that I really wasn't sure what on earth was going on. And it was only after they had Murphy out and Erin started to recover that the doctor, who was a friend of ours, said, "Dude, actually, I'm surprised that she's still alive."
Wow.
I just remember thinking, really?
Wow.
Wow. Well,
amazing.
Cool. good job, Doc.
Yeah,
but
right.
I mean, it just made me realize how, boy, in the blink of an eye, how things could have changed. And I think it gave me a little bit different perspective just on, you know, my love for her and admiration for her and her sacrifice to give up her almost life for our children. That changed. That's one of those Ebenezer moments, I think, in our marriage.
Well, we take so many things for granted. You know, I remember reading a story about some of the wives whose husbands died in 9/11, and how when they were interviewed together, the things that they missed the most were the things that they actually complained about the most. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They're just their little idiosyncrasies and the things of leaving their socks behind. It's just like, I would give anything to see his socks on the floor again. But sometimes you just need those reminders of how precious life is and to not get into. I think as soon as you find yourself rolling your eyes at your spouse, it's time for a reset because you're taking the treasure of who they are for granted. But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. I want to know, because I feel an incident coming on. Something must have happened
to you. Why would you think that?
How do you land on 24 years and not have an incident? I just got to know. What happened?
It was so funny. So Erin and I have been talking about this, and, you know, she got me a great gift. You know, I collect old sports football antiques, and she found a really cool thing. And she told me exactly what she wanted, and so I had that. So it's not like that we completely forgot. But, you know, with the weekend, because we were married, 24 years ago on Memorial Weekend. Hmm. And so just spending time with our family and just, you know, not really paying attention to phones and dates. And she, yesterday morning, so Tuesday morning, she wakes up and says, "Hey, you know, happy anniversary." And I went, "What?" I said, "That's not till Wednesday." She's like, "No, it's today." She goes, "It's the 31st. And I went, "Wait, what's today?" "It's just the 31st. And I went, "Wait, what?" Because our actual anniversary is May the 30th. And so I had completely forgotten. She had completely forgotten. She thought it's the 31st. I'm thinking it's on Wednesday. How that happened, I have no idea. And so we just looked at each other. We just started laughing and laughing and laughing. Because we're like, how could we have been such idiots? Like she thought it's on a different day. I'm thinking it's 4 days beyond the actual day. It's just crazy.
But she got you a sports gift thing?
She did.
And what did you get her?
Well, she loves gift cards, which is really awesome because it's really easy for me.
Yeah.
Because she feels like it's like you get two gifts. Like she gets the excitement of opening, not sure which gift card I got her. And then she gets to then go out and spend it, and I always go with her, and so we get to shop, and so she loves that. So some people hate that, but Erin loves getting that gift. So to her favorite. She gives me like four or five stores she loves, and I go ahead and get a couple.
Well, so that's great. So your incident just was like, oops, but it was mutual. It was a mutual oops. So that,
I know.
You're not in the doghouse, and you got her a gift, and you laughed about it. So that's you dodged a bullet there, I'd say.
We did laugh. And, and, you know, one of the things that we love is just taking these stupid things that we do or these mess-ups in how they just become such a part of our story. And I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, just the power of how we tell our story. And yeah, I mean, I wish I could tell you that I remembered. So I rated myself a one as a husband for you know, blowing past the 30th and not even saying anything. But yeah, in fairness, I guess she did too.
Yeah.
But
I
love that about us, that we, you know, I mean, we love our marriage and are excited about our marriage, and we don't take each other for granted, and that just happened, but it's now sort of a funny thing that we told people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she posted all over on Facebook on the 31st, so people are wishing me, you know, happy anniversary. I'm like, I'm telling you, it's not today. But I'm like, whatever,
all
thank
of you.
You
are wrong.
But I shouldn't say anything, so I'm just thinking, oh, thank you.
Okay, so I know we're going to get into this whole idea of transitions, and I don't know how this next story applies, but I've thought I've heard every Smalley story, but I've not heard this one. So you'll have to just make the connection. But you tell, before we got on the air here, you told me about a time when your dad almost killed you. Sorry, I mean,
there's
laugh.
Many. And it is funny. Yeah, many, many times. We, you know, I was thinking about an analogy for when we go through transitions, because I'm, you know, just Aaron and I are just in a season of just some tough transitions, just having lost my dad. We just went through a high school graduation for Murphy.
Your daughter's engaged.
Our daughter's engaged. Mm-hmm. So just a lot for us. And some of those are really awesome, and some of them are really difficult. And so I was trying to think, what's like, how does that feel going through that? And the thought that came to me was like, it feels like getting swept away in a river. And so it made me remember the time, I hadn't thought about this in a long time either, that my dad and I were actually fishing. We took a boat to the mouth of the Colorado River. So where the Glen Hoover something dam, above this huge lake, kind of that's the Colorado River flows in and then flows out at this dam. So when it comes out of this dam, obviously it's freezing cold water. So we're fishing and we're having this blast and we're in this boat and I'm standing on the back of the boat fishing, and all of a sudden my dad just decides it's time to move on. And he didn't say anything to me. He didn't look back to make sure that I was aware that we were going to gun forward. And he just takes the throttle and throws it forward, and we just zoom off. Well, that knocks me straight out over the back of the boat. I mean, I just go flying. My pole goes flying into the water.
And he's like, and man, this boat is fast.
Exactly. Why are we so light? All of a sudden, we're making great time. So so I'm bobbing, watching the boat just disappear around the corner. So he never even looks back. He doesn't realize that I'm no longer in the boat. But the water was going really, really fast. It's freezing. And I was in trouble because, I mean, the thing about it, that dam water is so cold.
Hypothermia.
And plus I'm just in this rushing river.
Wow.
I mean, I'm trying to swim for shore, and the waves are big. I mean, the rapids are hitting me, and I finally was able to make it to a little sandbar and kind of climb up over, and then all of a sudden the boat comes screaming back, and my dad's like, why are you in the water? Why would you not tell me you were going to go for a swim? And I'm like, really? Is that's it? All right, let's go with that.
That's right.
Because I needed to be rescued, so I didn't have time argue with him. But that sort of can feel, that's the feeling of when we go through a transition. It's almost like that we can feel knocked into this freezing cold, raging river. Now we're being swept along in shock, not sure what to do. And there we are both kind of bobbing down the water. And that's what it's felt like over the last couple months. And there are some things, though, that Aaron and I have been intentional to do that have made such a big difference as we face this.
So that's what we're going to talk about, how to grow closer even in times of transition. So transition does pose the potential of driving you farther away, where one's in the boat speeding away and the other one's bobbing in the water. But there's a way to cultivate oneness, intimacy, and stay intact during a move, a graduation, a death in the family. You can do this. Talking to Dr. Greg Smalley. Don't go away. More with him when we return.
No matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the water, I wish I could walk through.
Really glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our good friend Dr. Greg Smalley of Focus on the Family. Today we're talking about how to navigate through seasons and times of transition while actually getting closer in marriage, because oftentimes those transitions can pull you apart. And Greg, your story before the break is super interesting, first of all, because I'd never heard it before, but you and your dad are fishing in this freezing, freezing cold water. You're standing up in the boat. He doesn't look back. He guns it, takes off. You flip over. You're in the water. I mean, really, wow. You could have gotten hypothermia. You could have drowned. I'm so glad that that didn't happen. But you're kind of likening that to how transition can happen in couples as well. And I would even think, and maybe you're thinking of a different application, but I think when you're, let's say somebody's got a job change, one spouse can move more quickly into a transition and leave the other one in the dust. And it can feel like this is not a good transition because you're already, you've left before we've left. I mean, why don't you speak to that even dynamic of staying in pace with each other in the midst of a transition?
Yeah, you're right. Whether it's retirement, you know, graduation, health problems, you know, a job loss, you're moving, a natural disaster hits. I mean, there's all kinds of transitions, and you're absolutely right that part of the challenge is that we probably will have a very different pace at how we're dealing with that. Mm-hmm. It may hit one person way more severe, as, you know, like when I lost my dad. I mean, Erin was hurting, and that's been her father-in-law of 24 years. And yet, it hit me harder when she lost her mom. Same thing. Mm-hmm. And so it can feel that way. It can feel like, you know, one spouse is still in the boat, kind of rooted, grounded on something stable and moving right along. And now you're bobbing in the freezing cold water, and you're just sort of waving as they're leaving. Some transitions, like, you know, honestly, graduation for us, and we've already graduated, Taylor, not just from high school, but from college. But with Murphy going off to college, it's hit us different. We both would describe, man, we feel like we've been knocked out of the boat, and we're both kind of bobbing down the raging river. And it's easy then to lose sight of one another. It's easy to not be connected. She's, you know, flailing. She's bobbing along. I am too. And we're kind of, you know, again, even at a different pace, we can be further apart. So it's for us that when we were just talking about it, and she was like, you know, what does this feel like for you? And that was the analogy I gave her. And it's really, really helped. It's given us sort of a way to articulate, you know, for us right now, it totally feels like we're in that water. And there it feels like there's moments that it's a little calmer and not quite as cold, and we can kind of move towards a sandbar for a little bit. And then there's other times that it really does feel like that I'm just struggling to keep my head above water.
Man, it just seems like communication is so key anytime, but especially during this time. I hadn't thought of this memory in a long time, but as that young mom and battling the wretched Lyme disease, I was so sick, and I just was stuck, you know, in my sick body, and kept working two and three jobs. And once in a great while, he just needed to have a break, so he'd go golfing with some coworkers. And I was so happy for him that he got to do that. But there was another side of that, Greg, where I just felt like, oh, I feel like life is leaving me in the dust. And I totally know you need to do that, and you should do that. You're working your tail off. But there were other ways that he would maybe squander time, so there was zero time. And so we had to kind of come together to go, okay, what is life giving for you? What's a priority? Then how can you steward this other time so we can still stay in step, so it doesn't feel like I'm a have-not in this right now? You know what I mean? And awesome. I imagine that the one especially who's felt left in the icy water. Maybe the other spouse gets a job promotion or some kind of thing. What are some good questions to ask each other so that you can get in step with each other again?
You know, I think first and foremost that we just have to recognize that transitions are such fertile ground for stress, for conflict, which is going to lead to closed hearts, disconnection. We just have to realize that the potential is there. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen. And I'm not talking just about tough transitions, painful transitions. I think any transition from moving to a new place for a new job or getting a promotion like you talked about, there's just, it's fertile ground. And that's why I would agree with you that I think first and foremost, the key is to talk. And I think, though, for us, the talking first and foremost has been just to acknowledge that we're in a transition time. And I think there's something about just going, whoa, right now we are in the midst of a transition. What is your experience? What is this like for you? How would you describe that? Like Aaron, you asked, you know, what are some good questions? Aaron said, you know, well, how would you describe this? Like if this was a movie or if this was a song or, you know, what would be an analogy? And it just, I hadn't thought about it from that way. And it was really, really, I mean, to say healing, maybe that's not the right word, but it's
helpful.
It was helpful in the way of going that I kind of went from just bobbing along in the water to kind of being able to articulate that, whoa, I'm in the water, kind of lifted the veil. It gave me some perspective. And that's why, you know, just asking, you know, how would you describe this? You know, if this was a movie, maybe that can be a real easy. I mean, sometimes she'll say, you know, how are you feeling? And that's a little bit harder for me. You know, I feel bad, not good. But when she said that, I usually can think of kind of an analogy. You know, Christ, of course, taught in parables. So, I mean, there's something really cool when you can put your experience into, you know, the frame of comparing it to, you know, something like, you know, falling off of a boat into the raging water. And so try that and just say, you know, if your experience was a movie right now, what would that be? What would it be called? And, you know, and that just gave us an anchor spot to kind of talk from. Now we both got it. Whoa, this is a, you know, I could have said, hey, Aaron, we're in a transition. She would go, yeah, I know. But being able to describe it from, hey, I've just been thrown off a boat into a raging, freezing cold river, that gave Aaron a whole deeper level of understanding of where I'm at.
Well, that really does speak to Aaron's, first of all, security in giving you room to have feelings. But you can see where that conversation, if the defenses aren't down, what do you mean you're feeling that way? I'm doing my best here. You know what I mean? But for her to give you time and space to say, tell me what this is like for you, and then to validate what you're feeling, that seems to be a must-have in these transition conversations. Boy, maybe you're walking through transition today and you got a question for Dr. Greg. You can sure call anonymously if you need to. Is your child graduating? Is your spouse maybe gotten a job change or lost their job, or your health has suddenly shifted? We've got actually a few copies of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. Love to get one into your hands. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email your question, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a moment. And I can say, glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley. He's got a book titled Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You Love. And he's offering a few copies today. So this is how we're doing it. Email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Put Crazy Little Thing in the subject line. And you got to write it with the slang, Crazy Little Thing. And then give me your mailing address. And we'll get those addresses over to Focus. And you maybe one who wins a book. So we're talking today about transition and how transitions can really drive a wedge in marriage, because even if it's good stress, like you were talking about, you've got a daughter who just got engaged, you got another daughter who just graduated from high school, still grieving the loss of the passing of Dr. Gary Smalley, your precious dad. So there, and you can move into a new house, and it could be your dream house, but it's still stress, and that transition stage can add great stress to the marriage. What we're talking about today is how to navigate those transitions so not only you do not fall apart, but you actually draw closer still. One of the really important points, Greg, you make is to recognize who the real enemy is. Say more.
Well, I just think any time that we go through a transition, we go through a hard, difficult season, that we always have to keep in mind that, remember, Satan is prowling around like a lion, and he's hidden, you know, in the high, tall grass, but man, he's inching, always inching towards us. And just like every animal, you know, show we've ever seen, you know, the lion will always attack those who are weak, those who are injured, those who are separated. And that's exactly what it can feel like when we go through transition, that we're weakened. We may feel injured. You know, we may be bobbing along there in the ice cold, freezing water, crashing into rocks. You know, we maybe feel isolated, disconnected from our spouse. They're still in the boat, or they're bobbing along with us, but you know, out of arm's reach. And that's the easy picking. That's exactly, I'm telling you, when Satan's going to come in. So I say that just to go that Aaron and I, that has now become a part of our everyday conversation, is how are we being attacked by Satan? Because it's very easy to maybe blame Aaron, or to feel disappointed you're not meeting maybe a new need that I have. Whatever's going on, it's easy in those times of stress, those times of chaos, those times of transition, to kind of turn on one another. And now we're really easy pickings for the enemy. And just call it, be aware of it. You know, hey, we are ripe for Satan's attack, and let's shore up. Let's make sure that we're praying over one another, and that we're asking for God's hedge of protection, his angels at the north, south, east, and west of our marriage. I mean, just all that. That just, it gives us a different perspective and a different mindset, and we have to be aware that that's always going to be the case, that we are going to be under spiritual attack as well.
Wow, and we touched on communication, but there's something you talk about as far as fighting negative beliefs. This, I just got to say, I'm wondering about, if there are times when at certain transitions that sort of oust the husband, and other transitions that oust the wife, and thinking, you know, when we as moms have babies, you know, as excited as the dad, as the husband is, you do feel ousted because there's a bond that's happening. And then I'm thinking of you as the husband, when you are pursuing and going from one gear to the next in your career, wives can feel ousted. Then I'm thinking, like, we had all sons, but you guys have daughters, and you've got a daughter graduating and a daughter planning a wedding. Again, I can imagine Aaron's maternal instinct kicking in, where you'd be like, hello. I mean, is that a real dynamic where there are times where it's a transition, but it's exciting for one? And I know you're excited about some of these transitions, but you're more feeling the brunt of it?
Oh, very much so. And that's, again, depending on what the transition is, it's going to impact and hit us very differently. And there can be times that I feel left behind. There can be times that I'm not understanding fully why Aaron maybe is so upset or so frustrated, or why is this the fifth day in a row that you're having a lot of tears around this. I mean, it's just so easy to not only just miss each other, but then to start to develop some negative beliefs. You know, I see stats like, you know, 70% of communication is miscommunication. 80% of conflict is due to misunderstanding. And I think that's a big part of what we have to keep in mind as well, is that as we're, you know, bobbing along in the ice cold water, it's very easy to draw the wrong conclusion, to see something, hear something that our spouse does, says, and just not get that right. And again, that's just a great reminder. We're going to get spiritually attacked. We are probably going to misunderstand our spouse. And so instead of drawing the wrong conclusion, you know, it can just help, because what it does, if I assume that during this transition time that I'm probably going to misunderstand Aaron in some way, draw the wrong conclusion, then it can force me to just ask more questions. Hey, let me make sure I understood what you meant by that. Or when you did this, help me to understand that a little bit better. It just is a way to protect the relationship. Mm-hmm. Don't just think you know what was said or what was meant by what was said. Ask.
You know, one of my favorite things that you always say to preface a question with is, help me understand. And you think about how defenses would come down if you would say, help me understand what this transition is like for you. And to be able to honor each other enough to have room and space and time to express your feelings. Like you said before, that you name it, that diffuses so much of the angst around it, you know?
It really does. It puts you back in the mindset that, oh, yeah, we are in a season of transition. Okay, so now what do we need to do differently? I think one of the things that Aaron and I have been very intentional to talk about is we want to fight to stay connected. So think about both of us bobbing along in the ice-cold, raging river of this transition. And there has to be a time to where we intentionally start scissor-kicking towards one another. You know, doing the breaststroke, doing the backstroke, doing something to draw closer together, because that we know physiologically when men and women go through stress, they handle that very differently. Men, when oxytocin mixes with testosterone, it causes us to want to isolate. We want to go into the cave. I don't actually want to swim closer to my wife. I actually want to keep distancing myself. We know that is true. Women, on the other hand, oxytocin mixes with estrogen, and they go through the tend and befriend phenomenon. They want to tend to their children, draw closer to their friends. They want to connect. And so that's the irony, that here we are in this transition, and I naturally want to move away and just cave off and be by myself. Aaron's pushing hard towards me, and I'm frustrated. She's frustrated, feeling disconnected. And that's why I say that we need to really actually fight, both of us, to stay connected. We need to be having conversation. We need to be having sex. We need to keep dating. We need to be praying together. We have to fight for that, because it's very easy just to allow us to drift. You know, the river's full rage. It's easy just to drift apart. And all of a sudden, she ends up on one side of the bank. I end up on the other. And that is so opposite, because it's two are stronger than one. I mean, that's, again, oneness. That's a powerful thing that God has given us as a gift within our marriage. And we need to fight for the power of when we can come back together. It's just during that season, it's harder to do that.
Such a good word. I mean, it seems that there will be times where we have to actually take sides against ourselves for the greater good of the marriage, because I think we lose our way when we so often obsess over what I need, what I want. Now, what we need and want is important, but if it contradicts the greater good of the marriage, then it isn't as important as we prioritize it to be. What say you?
Yeah, it's so true. One of the things that I've learned to accept is that Aaron and I are going to grieve very differently, and let that be okay. Mm. Give space for both people in the marriage to let their hearts grieve whatever and however that's going to be. And, you know, for Aaron, that's going to come through a lot of tears. And man, I don't, you know, she the other day, she's like, oh man, here I am crying again. And I just went, Aaron, look at me. I said, that I love that about you. Let your heart cry. Let your heart grieve. That is so cool. That's not necessarily how I'm grieving. And, you know, for me, it's been just a lot of sorrow of thinking about, you know, so Murphy, you know, going off to, she's at camp now as a counselor, and she goes straight to college. And I wasn't ready to not have her in my home every day. Because I love every one of my children. Man, there's a cool relationship that Murphy and I have, and it breaks my heart. I hate walking down to the kitchen and she's not sitting right where in her spot that she would always sit, and we can have just a little cut up session, and she had such a tender heart, you know, Dad, how you doing? I can tell you look down. She was our strong-willed child. I mean, I miss every bit of that. Mm. And it's caused me just to be depressed. I love being a dad of Murphy. And I hate that it's different now.
Mm. And that's the tricky thing, isn't it, Greg? Because on one hand, if you were to think it all the way through, you don't want a 30-year-old living in your basement. You really, you know, I mean, you're successfully launching this girl. But the reality of it is grief goes with this kind of transition. So that you would lean in and let yourself walk through it is just the only way to do this, isn't it?
It really is. And that's why it's such a crazy, transitions are crazy in that mm-hmm. way, that you're filled with joy. You're filled. It's a celebration. Murphy's launching, and it's sad to go. But our relationship now is different. She's not in my home every day, and it. You know, another thing that's been helping me is to hold on to constants in my life. So that idea that I'm bobbing down the icy cold river in what are the constants in my life? It's almost like you've got to turn your head and focus back on true north. You've got to find a point on the horizon, a landmark, something that is solid, that gives you hope. And for example, I mean, obviously for me, you know, God is one of those constants. You know, I think about, you know, casting all my anxieties on him because he cares for me in 1 Peter 5:7. You know, that he has been sent to bind up the brokenhearted, that he's faithful. He won't allow us to go through more than we can endure. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. And that provides hope. You know, sometimes it's easy when the waves get a little bit higher and the wind's whipping around to lose sight of anything. You lose your bearings. And yet God is one of those constants. And how can I make sure that I'm seeing that rock, you know, on the shore, and I'm watching it, because that's God, and his love is never ending. And even thinking about, you know, the other constant that I was thinking about too is just the fact that you know, my wife loves me. I know that's a fact. Mm-hmm. That's another marker on the shore. She loves me. Maybe we're not connecting in the way that I need, or maybe I'm just filled with such sorrow that I'm drawing away from her, pulling away. But the truth is that I can intentionally go, but what's true is that she loves me, and we're in this thing together. And even if she's in the boat, I know at some point she's going to pull up next to me, or she's going to jump in and float with me.
You're going to find your way to each other.
Yeah.
So good. You're thinking of that person listening who's right now in the midst of a move. Here's some of the things that Greg has said. Remember who the real enemy is. Communicate, right? Give the benefit of the doubt. Stay intimate. Make sure you date. In fact, don't wait for the move to be over. Date now. Maybe you're graduating a child and you're planning the grad open house. Date now. Connect now. We tend to postpone the most important things, and then we wonder why we've drifted. When we come back, we're going to talk about the power of prayer. We're going to talk about treasure hunting and about the importance of taking care of yourself. Don't go away. More with Dr. Greg Smalley when we return. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our good friend, Dr. Greg Smalley, about an interesting topic, how we navigate through transitions in marriage so we can stay intact. You know, maybe you are helping your child plan a wedding, or you're planning the grad open house, or you guys are moving from one house to the next, or a spouse has gotten a new job and the transition feels like it's left you in the dust. Well, I was thinking, you know, having worked with youth for all the years that we did, Greg, the transition of transitioning kids out of your home to college, is a big one. And that can be a stressor on a marriage. I remember hearing from some of our youth going, my mom is putting the white knuckle grip on me and I can't breathe. I have to go say goodbye to my friends. I'm moving out of state. And it makes me just not even want to come home and visit because she's clamping down too hard. Or my dad is more understanding and kind of ready to release me. But you can see the infighting between the couple because they're feeling different even about how you do this thing. And you mentioned during the break that, we have these idealized pictures of what this transition is supposed to look like. And rarely does it go the way we think it will.
It's true. I very much have watched how transitions may unfold very differently than I expected. And, I think in my mind as we're launching Murphy off to college, I thought that it would unfold a certain way, that we'd have these special talks and go for these cool walks, and it was very different. I mean, she, dealing with her own anxiety, just really took it out on us. And so I remember I kept lamenting to Aaron, just going, I talked to Murphy and just go, is this really how you want to end this season, this chapter, is by constantly taking your frustration out on us? Because you can't take that back. Like, that's just how this season will go. And that's how it went. And I get that we needed to be that rock, and she was working through her anxiety. We even said, Murph, if you want to go talk to someone, and she took us up on that offer, and we have a great counselor in our area that Murphy went to talk to. Very, very helpful. I mean, I remember, adopting Annie, talk about another transition unfolding in a very different way. And, I thought that moment where the social worker was walking Annie up to our door of our hotel room and we opened it and there we are. I mean, this is the moment. This is when we get our adopted daughter finally into our home. And she took one look at us and jerked her arm away from the social worker and ran off. I mean, she was gone. And then Garrison goes, he's like 10. He goes, well, will they bring us up another one? So, I mean, it's just expect the unexpected. Mm-hmm. It's not going to lay out and unfold. A lot of times the way that we envision it, and it's how we then can adjust. And are we flexible to go, okay, well, it's not going to, unfold this way. And so what do I need now? And it's just Aaron and I just keep talking. And we just, I love that she'll just go, what do you need from me during this transition? How can I love you the best? What's one thing that I could do to show you that I love you in this season? I mean, all those kinds of questions, just what it does is it causes me to go, oh yeah, that's true. We're in a transition and what do I need? And sometimes I'm like, I don't know, honey, you're doing a great job, or I can't think of anything. And other times, like I told her with my dad, I said that I need you to recognize that how you dealt with your mom's death is just going to be very different than how I'm grieving my dad's. And because she kept asking me, like, why aren't you doing this? And I felt this way, and you don't see, and it was really good. It was a healthy discussion just for us to walk through to some of the differences and why, I'm, again, at my own pace of how I'm grieving compared to how she grieved the loss of her mom. Mm.
Boy, such a good conversation. And to remember that we're on the same team. I imagine, especially if you've got one spouse handling the transition one way and the other way, you can turn against each other, but you're actually saying, no, we got to turn towards each other. So rather than kind of turning our backs to each other or assessing the other, this is how I handle it, this is how you should handle it, to stay on the same team. Maybe say a word about that.
Well, we are on the same team, and there's such strength in that. And I try to remember that. I mean, that two are stronger than one, that's my teammate. And so I don't want to do anything to damage that. I don't want to say things that I'm going to regret. I want to act. We're going through this together, and it may look different. We may be at different spots. We may be at a very different pace, but boy, I want to protect the fact that we're a team and draw strength from that. I'm not alone. God's with me. My wife is with me, and versus fighting that urge to kind of isolate and to move away from her. And I know that Aaron and I, we will verbalize. I think another thing that has helped us is to keep saying that we will find a new normal. And I think the worst thing that we can try to do is to try to swim back upstream. Almost like, let's return to how things were. Let's go back to before the transition. I think that's a terrible perspective. I think what we have to accept is, one, things have changed. It's going to be different. But what's the new normal going to be like? You know, what is our family going to be like now? We're down to, you know, the four of us, where we started at six, and then now Murphy's leaving, and now we're back to four. And so I don't ever try to think about rebuilding. I love to think about the idea that, you know, there's, what's that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone and the new is here. It's new. And our marriage will forever be changed. Maybe a small change, maybe a monumental change. And yet, how, you know, we can start brainstorming what are some of the positive? What's the new opportunity here? You know, the fact that Murphy is gone, or Taylor's going to be getting married, or my dad's gone. Like, what's good about this season? And we've also had those conversations of going, hey, you know what? As we go through this change, here's what that's going to mean. And hey, look at this. And, you know, this is going to be different, but that's a good thing. So fight for a new normal.
Good word. We've got just about a minute and a half, couple minutes left before we get ready to wrap and pray. But speak to the point of taking care of yourself. Again, I can see where you'd neglect relationship and transition because you get through the moment mindset. And I think that's always a mistake. You know, we'll put everything that's important on the wayside because we got to get through this thing. I just always think that's a mistake. But the other big mistake is neglecting personal care. So say a word about that.
Yeah, I love the statement, you can't give what you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be able to, as I go through this, I want to be full of God's love. I want to have what I need versus, you know, it's easy for me to go into the isolation mode, shutting down, going down into our basement, turning on the TV with a big honking bag of chips, you know, and fighting to not get up in the morning. I love, I'll get up real early, I'll exercise. But you know what? As we go through transition, we might launch into some depression and just not want to do the things that normally helped us to not just to stay healthy and fit, but actually, you know, keeps us out of depression. And so I make myself get up in the morning, even though I'm tired or I don't want to, knowing that the endorphins that are released and just the, you know, getting on the treadmill and what that does to me, it gives me then more to be able to get out to my family.
Boy, it's been good conversation, and we didn't even get through all the notes. Such good stuff there, Greg. I wonder if you'd pray for that person listening today who's right smack dab in the middle of a transition and realizing a lot of the main things have become side notes and they need to maybe do a reset. Would you pray for that person?
Hey, God, just help us to thrive through transition, God. So give us what we need, Lord. Help us as individuals, Lord. Fill us, give us everything that we need, Lord, so we can just keep giving that out and serving our spouse, Lord. Help us to draw closer together. God, thank you for our community, for our church community, for our friends who can walk with us, Lord, and just bring the people right now into our life who have some experience, who can give us some perspective, Lord, can be a part of just helping to fight for maybe our marriage through a transition when maybe we don't have much fight in us. So God, thank you. You are always fighting for our marriage. You're fighting for us as individuals, Lord. And we just trust that. And thank you for your love and for the unique ways that you show up, Lord, to be able to look back and look at those and see those Ebenezers, Lord, when you were a clear and present help. So Lord, thank you for always being there with us. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Greg, thank you again for your time. We always appreciate you so much.
I love being with you guys, so thank you.
And until next week.
It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet. So move, keep walking. So just keep moving on. Move, keep walking. Until the morning comes. Move, keep walking. So just keep moving on and lift your head. It ain't over yet, it ain't over yet.
Great. great show today. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. If you found some encouragement here today, be a radio missionary with a click of a button. You can send out today's show by Facebook, email, or Twitter. And remember this, the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.